You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXCI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Ben Richman, Manager of Undergraduate Education Initiatives, and Daniel Sestiaga, Assistant Director of the Indigenous Resilience Center at the University of Arizona.
Well, thank you for having us. My name is Ben Richman. I'm born and raised from Tucson, Arizona. I grew up a huge U of A sports fan, going to every basketball game, every football game. We usually like to call it the family business. My mom worked at the U of A for 35-ish years, and my sister's worked at the U of A. One still works at the U of A, and now I get to work there. So I'm a huge U of A fan, so I like to see the U of A succeed. I work there now. I'm the manager of Undergraduate Education Initiatives in the Division of Undergraduate Education. We're located in the provost office at the U of A.
Great. Thank you so much.
Kumadus Kamanuk, Daniel Sestiaga Ima Mulyak. How are you doing? You all doing? My name is Daniel Sestiaga. I come from the Fort Yuma Quetzal tribe in Yuma, Arizona. And for all my Otham relatives, Aniam Chigik Daniel Sestiaga. My journey kind of begins working at Thonaltham Community College. Started there in 2012 and got to lay some roots down there, really understanding the importance of tribal education, tribal higher education, and really laying some groundwork, I guess, and trying to figure out really where my role, I guess, in higher education and supporting students really began. And spent 9 years at TOCC doing some really awesome things with the tribal college. And I pivoted a little bit. And in 22, I left to start a center with the University of Arizona. I currently work for the Indigenous Resilience Center at the U of A. I'm the assistant director there. And built out a whole new center with our director, Dr. Carletta Chief, on this new initiative, focusing on environment and working with tribes on environmental issues. But that's really where I've been for the past almost 4 years now. But my heart, what we're here to talk about is the student's journey. And that's part of the exciting things that I get to be a part of still.
Great. Thank you both so much for taking the time to come here to KXCI Studios and share the story of the program, of the work that you both do. And I learned about this program, A Student's Journey at the U of A, with a past guest who is, I guess, would say like an alumni of the program, Jasmine. Shout out to Jasmine for coming in and talking about her experience as a student with this program. So if you could talk more about what is a student's journey. Give a little bit about how did that all start and why was it an important initiative to take on?
Well, Student's Journey is a program for tribal college students that are interested in transferring to a four-year university. When students are accepted into the program, they complete monthly workshops in the spring that kind of prepare them for transfer, introduce them to environmental and social justice topics, and prepare them for a summer experience. In the summer, students spend 5 weeks on campus at the University of Arizona. They live on campus. They complete an internship with a faculty member for 5 weeks based on their career interests. And they also earn 3 units of college credit in an environmental and social justice class. And just being on campus allows them to learn where everything's at, engage with the various resources that exist on campus, and feel confident in their ability to be successful there.
Thanks, Ben, for providing that overview. So when I was doing work with Thonaltham Community College, I started as the pre-college outreach coordinator, focusing on K-12 outreach, dual enrollment, all the great things. But in my time with TOCC, we started having these conversations, really, what happens when a student gets here and how do we start to prepare them really for their life after TOCC? And I think in 2015, 2016, we started to hear really from our transitioning sophomores, people that were finishing up, the importance of getting prepared for what that experience was going to look like. So me and my homie, Anna Marie Stevens, shout out to Anna.
Yeah.
Let's go, Anna.
Anna, She was the director of the residence life at the time, and Gabriela Cáceres Kelly, who was the academic advisor. We at TOCC, you know, was the homie, was the crew, right? We would have really intense conversations about what our students' experience was, and we would hear from our students when we would take them to go visit different colleges and universities, thinking about their next steps. You know, what are the needs? What are they really wanting to actually see? And at the time, when we would go visit some of these schools, we would take current students and we would try to meet up with current university students, and they would be able to kind of share their experience. And at some point we said, you know, we should really try to get as many alumni at the universities that are like there to give us insight. Like what is actually happening? What does that transfer process look like? And we learned the truth. The truth really was that they didn't feel that they were prepared. We heard from alumni that, you know, TOCC wasn't doing a good job in preparing them for the transfer process. So they were having a hard time navigating resources on campus. They were having a hard time navigating the technology. You know, what does it mean to have a learning management system like D2L or Blackboard? Having to do things solely online for like financial aid and, you know, advising. They were having trouble navigating essentially the hidden curriculum. That's what we call it in higher education, the hidden curriculum. Basically all the things that are outside of the classroom that really support a student to really be successful. And this became like the launching point, because we were hearing from the alumni like, if I had this, I think I would be more successful in this. You know, that became the launching pad. And so I went back to school. I just happened to go back to school, and I was like, all right, I'm doing my master's program, and I needed essentially an internship experience for my master's program. And so I had reached out to the Southwest Environmental Health Sciences Center. I had reached out to the director, Dr. Marty Lindsay, and through her coordinator at the time, Enrique K. Salt, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Q, dude, I need a job. Like, I need an internship. Like, can you, like, give me some advice? Because I don't know where to go at this point. I'm working, you know, 50 plus hours a week at TOCC doing crazy things. And, you know, I'm also in class. I'm doing my master's program online. And now I have to find an internship. Like, I need help here. Like, I don't know where to go. Marty had visited TOCC a couple of times and was like, yeah, sure. Like, let's have a meeting. And I like walked into the door. I had no idea I was getting interviewed. And then they started asking me like, what's your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And I was like, what is happening here?
Who are you?
What am I doing? And apparently I killed the interview, but I think Marty was just like, yeah, we just wanted to make sure you were cool. And I had approached Schweck because the university is not a welcoming place at sometimes. I mean, I think we have all had our own experiences who have gone to the university, like how it could be a very daunting place and oftentimes very unwelcoming. But Schweck, Southwest Environmental Health Science Center under Marty, she was one of the people that were actually doing things right. She made a very intentional effort to make sure that her tribal engagement, her work with tribes was very much grounded in the community. And I told her, Marty, you know, I turned to you because if there was anybody that I was going to try to work with at the U of A, you had a track record, a proven track record of doing this work with intentionality. And I really respected that. And long story short, I ended up in the office and, you know, he was my boss. He doesn't like
We were desk mates. I don't know. He always says, you were my boss. I'm like, no, I just worked there.
And I told him, I was like, yo, like I was reporting to you. And he's like, no, you really weren't. And I was like, I pretty much was. But one day, there was a call for like this.
It was a challenge grant. Shout out to the Agnes Nelms Howery program at the U of A.
And it was like, should we go after this money? There's a potential here. And Marty and Ben they came to my desk at one point and they're like, we want to talk to you. And I said, okay, what's going on? They're like, well, there's this opportunity. We think it'd be really awesome to go after it. And we started brainstorming. He was like, you know, what are you hearing at TOCC? And I said, let me unpack this. And I said, man, Ben, here's what I'm hearing in real time. Alumni are not being successful when they transfer. They are struggle busing. Like they are having a hard time navigating the university. They're not being successful. And at the end of the day, they're either coming back to TOCC or they're just withdrawing altogether, and that's not cool because essentially we're not preparing the workforce. And all of these things just kind of came in, right? Like,
yeah, and at the same time, at the Southwest Environmental Health Sciences Center, we had worked with our community partners and had a track record of developing programs. So we had a number of programs, usually internship-based, with the idea of increasing students' interest in STEM. And so they would do internships with researchers based off of what they were interested in. And we kind of developed a little bit of a model. So when you were telling us this, we were like, how can we take what we know in developing programs and how can we make it useful and help TOCC students?
Yeah. And I think it just naturally kind of borne out, like, what if we took like a dorm experience? What if we took like an internship experience? What if we, you know, try to prepare students over like an experiential learning? And it was so funny. We wrote on like the glass window. We were like scribbling down all these ideas. And then essentially we were like, okay, how can we do some of this work? And I think Cowrie provided money to do like a feasibility study. And Marty, Ben, and I, we were like talking about all these things. And we said, okay, but we can't develop a program without having any insight. We really need to turn to the people that this is going to affect. So we interviewed students,
TOCC staff and faculty, and then we were able to do meetings with the managers of the various nation's departments.
Yeah. And basically said, you know, we want to support students in their transition. What would a program look like? And essentially we were just asking like everybody, if you were a student now, what would you want to see? Or what would you like to have had then that you know now? Like all the things that you know now, what would have been helpful for you then? And everybody gave us like different answers, but it ended up coming out to be like more student support. You know, everybody kind of had their niche, right? Students were talking about, I need to know this, this, and this. Staff and faculty were like academic rigor, when they need to be able to get credits, they need to be able to, you know, get hands-on learning. And then the departmental managers, directors, they were like, we're going to retire. We need a prepared workforce. Like, how do we train these students to basically come over and take over these jobs? So they were talking really about that importance. And it just grew out of that. And, you know, with Howery at the time, their challenge grant, we had to look at a wicked problem. And for us, knowing Howery, focusing on environment and society, it kind of just meshed in really awesome. You know, the societal challenge that we found, the wicked problem, was low degree attainment, right?
Yeah. So low transfer rates. So low transfer rates from TOCC to a four-year university, that led to, you know, low bachelor degree attainment. And if there's low bachelor degree attainment, then there's empty positions that require bachelor's degrees.
And then we also knew the environmental component was so important because at the time, given priorities of the administration and whatnot, and just I think being a native forward program, we knew how important the environment was. So no matter what sector a student went into, a career that a student person went into, everybody's going to be affected by the environment, climate change, environmental issues. And we wanted to make sure that our students were really prepared to have these conversations, right? If you go into the business world, you can be going into a corporation, right? At some point, whether or not you have access to clean air or even have safe drinking water, that's going to impact you, right? And if you go into these leadership roles within the tribe themselves, you have to be versed on water rights, land rights, air issues. Like, you have to be able to stand up for the people and advocate on behalf of your people. So we were thinking, okay, we got to prepare this cohort of students to be able to address all of these things. How do we do that? And out of that, that's how ASJ came.
It was born. There you
that's go. There it was.
Wow. So amazing. And I respect the approach that you all took to go directly to the community, not just to the students and the staff at the TOCC, but you thought about the leadership of the nation and that you were able to really assess the needs of what this program needed and how you were able to work with others to formulate what is today. And from what I've learned from alumni of the program, it sounds like it's a pretty good program and it's highlighted and thought of very highly. And so can you talk about what the aftermath of the success that you've been able to have with this program? What does that look like today?
So when we started the program, it was interesting because we wrote the grant in 2018 and it was funded in 2019. And then we started planning for this program and we're like, oh man, we can't be in person. So that really kind of changed our approach a little bit for that year. And so we really didn't get started with the program we designed until 2021. And we accepted, I want to say, 12 students in 2021. We invited some folks back from 2020 if they wanted to do the in-person experience. And from there, our goal was, you know, making sure we're providing a quality experience while also how can we reach as many students as possible. And so after year one or two, or like 2022, we started working with San Carlos Apache College as well, which falls under TOCC's accreditation. So we opened the opportunity there, started visiting with students there and saying, okay, you know, would you like to participate in that program? And really our goal then was how can we, you know, make this more available to students? And so we've been fortunate enough to keep receiving support in various ways for the grant. And most recently, the program was able to transition into our provost office. So with the idea, you know, we want this to be shown as available to all students. It really doesn't matter what you want to major in. Mm-hmm. You can be a business major or interested in law, education, fine arts, whatever it is. This opportunity is available to you if you're interested in transferring to a four-year university. And so being kind of in a central unit like that allows us just to have a larger reach, but also a more sustainable platform mm-hmm. to make sure we're reaching students. And one of our goals now is to, you know, open this to any tribal college student. And with the support and the guidance from TOCC as well, doing that in a purposeful way. And so if you're listening from any TCU, applications are open. Last year, we had a student from Turtle Mountain College join us, and that was really cool. And she heard from us through the American Indian College Fund. And so it was great to have her. And we really want to make this opportunity available to students from any TCU.
So where I work now, the Indigenous Resilience Center, again, because it's always, ASJ has always been my heart, right? Ben was joking. He's like, you're the uncle of the program. but, you know, I always step in and see where we can help. But I think for us, because there was an environmental focus and there are the societal impacts that addresses a lot of the challenges that we see. For us at the Indigenous Resilience Center, we had a grant. We do have a grant funded under National Science Foundation, NSF. Mm-hmm. And it's really to broaden the representation in STEM careers through the Native Fuse Alliance. And through this alliance, we were able to have a call for mini grants. And Ben, they applied for some funding through that grant, and they were awarded. And we've been able to support the program through that effort as well. And it just married very naturally because it was a TCU program, right? And under the Native Fuse Alliance, there's these different stepping stones. There are focusing on the K-12 aspect, looking at tribal colleges and TCU engagement to undergrad, grad, all the way up to career, right? And so it just fit in so naturally because AHEC, American Indian Higher Education Consortium, serves as the backbone really for that project. So there's two institution lead institutions, the University of Arizona and UC Berkeley, and AHEC serves as the backbone, really supporting the whole effort. So we've been really able to think methodically about where the natural progression of a student's journey would be, and that is looking to bring in more tribal college participants. But we say that also knowing that we have a very unique responsibility and to ground the entire program with Thana'atham Community College and with the Thana'atham Nation. So no matter what walk of life you bring, come from, what, no matter what tribe you come from, tribal college you come from, you're going to come down here, be a part of this program, but its focus and I guess its culture, the values are still rooted in the Tonawatam Himdag, embracing TOCC's core values, the Shoshan. And I think that's been really a guiding light, I think, through this entire transition in the program, right? Like, mm-hmm. to make sure that we still have that commitment from TOCC.
Absolutely. They've been a part of, they're in every planning meeting. You know, it remains one of the principles that the program was founded on is a true 50-50 partnership. Yeah. And so we don't call it a U of A program. It's a joint program. It's co-ownership of it. So any move that's made, it's with our partners at TOCC, making mm-hmm. sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I'm so glad to hear and to know that that's something that is there for students. And I hope that it's something that other tribal colleges can adapt as well. And if that's the goal, then I hope that goal gets met for sure. Thank you both so much for coming in here and sharing the story of a student's journey. And if somebody was listening now and they wanted to learn more about the program, where can they find information?
They can go to asj.arizona.edu for more information on the program. Applications are open. They'll be open through January.
And, anything to add, Daniel?
You know, and for us on the Instagram, you know, I think ASJ has a really good following on Instagram. I think for us at the Indigenous Resilience Center, UA Indigenous Resilience, that's our handle. We spotlight each other all the time. We give each other shout outs. You know, we purposefully also have made a commitment to make sure that alumni are being supported. So ASJ folks that have gone through the program, and we've seen real awesome impacts. I mean, we have seen students come through the program, transfer to the university, graduate from the university, go back into the community, and do what they're intending to do. So we've seen the success really that the program has had on students and their educational pathways. We've seen students now graduate from the university but say, you know what, I want to go further. They're looking into grad school, into professional school. So it's been really cool. I think as these guys always say, you're a founder, right? Right? And I'm like, get out of here with that name. All right. The OG people, I'll take an OG uncle, you know. But I remember sitting there, you know, I was sick in 2020 and 2021. I was dealing with a lot of issues. And then I remember sitting there in 21 and 22 and helping the students kind of prepare for their final presentations. And I just remember, like, you know, 2018, 2019, like, we had this vision and here it is, to see the students like actively preparing and then just like to take a seat back and say, you know what, this is what we wanted. Mm-hmm. This is what we planned for. This was our intention. This was our vision. And I still get kind of sentimental about it because I think it's just really cool. And I think for us, like, we try to get the word out there for the program and to be able to support it, because I think we truly believe in its power. And I think the community does, TOCC does, the alumni do. And it's people like them that advocate on our behalf that why the program, I think, has been successful too.
Yeah, and some updated stats. We have 60 total students that have participated since 2021. Of the students that are finishing up their associate's degrees, I think 82% have successfully transferred to a four-year university. And so our next step in that process is, okay, we can get you to a four-year university, and we encourage the U of A, but you can go to any.
Yeah,
even if there's a school up north that we won't talk about.
Yeah, and
you know, you can go there. But our next step is, okay, we want to make sure that you're graduating in a timely manner. And so the cool thing about this program is it's not just the program, it's the relationship. And so over time, we've been able to develop it, and recently we were able to do I'm going to call it a workshop. It's called the Lamborn Hughes Institute. So we were able to take our partners from TOCC and participate in this week-long institute where you're kind of locked in the room for a week. How can we identify issues and solve some issues? And so it's grown. And from the feasibility study at the beginning, we heard from students, our credits aren't transferring. And if you look at national averages, students lose 30 units of credit when they transfer. That's almost a year of credits.
Yeah.
And so now one of the things that we're working on with TOCC is incorporating TOCC's curriculum into a portal where students can, before they even start, see what is the most ideal degree plan so that your credits actually apply towards your degree. Mm-hmm. And other initiatives we're doing, like trying to make sure the U of A is represented on campus more, maybe hosting like an application day to encourage students to apply to the U of A and seek guidance. So it's growing beyond the program, and that's really what is cool about this.
Amazing, amazing. Great job to have that idea and to just feel passionate about it and thinking of the future, really, thinking of these students and their pathways and just wanting more Native to be successful and to have the support is amazing. So thank you for the work that you've done to the both of you, Ben and Daniel, and everyone else that does work in the program at Students' Journey. It's amazing. And I'm so glad that you get to both come here today and share the story and the success of the program. Yes. So before we close out the interview, is there any last comments or even shout outs that you want to share before we end the interview?
You know, there's a list of people, and I'm sorry, I don't have them off the top of my head, but there are people that have been involved with the program since its inception, and I kind of gave everybody some flowers, right? But even, I would just say TOCC leadership at the time, because it was a risky move. I think it was a risky move for them to acknowledge some of the shortfalls at the time. I would say that the president of the college at the time being supportive, but also being an active part of the grant itself, Victoria Hobbs. She was the academic dean at the time, and she was just like, no, we need to go after this money. This is a true partnership, and I believe in the needs. You know, she checks in every now and then to see like how the program's going, but she was a part of that original team that put mm-hmm. forward the whole grant, and she was instrumental in getting us with the department program managers, department directors, to thought out the nation leadership, just to get some of that initial feedback and say, if we were to create something, what would it look like? And mm-hmm. you know, there's other folks, and I'm thinking, you probably have a whole list too.
We have a whole list, and one of the stats that we track is our partners, and the latest stat is we have 70 community and campus partners that actively contribute, whether they're mentoring students, providing a workshop, you know, participating in our weekly talking circles, whatever it might be. So it's hard to name everyone. Alex Benavides and Anna Marie Stevens were the original program coordinators for this program that like took started from nothing and then mm-hmm. built it to what it is today. And Alex, if he's listening, he's over doing great things at UCSD right now. Mm-hmm. So big shout out to them.
And Anna, she's just awesome, keeping the vibe alive and exploring potential collaborations, you know, with the American Indian College Fund, and just there's so many community partners. Yeah. Like it's just, the list goes on, you know. I personally have not been involved with the day-to-day functions of the program, but I know that there have been like people that come in. Gabby's one of them, Mikey Enos, to be able to provide some cultural grounding. The Thon Otham Community College, like HMDOG committees, provided a lot of insight there too. You know, it is a big comprehensive group. And I will just say, I think for people who have hosted at the U of A, like the mentors, they also play a big role in this too. And I think that's a component of the program we haven't shouted out yet. But I think the diligence that these guys do to actively place, like, you know, what does a student want to do? And then how do we place them at the university? And making sure that people at the university are ready to support a Native student, because that's the other part of the conversation, right? It could be a really bad experience. And these guys put in a lot of work to vet, to make sure that people have cultural competency, people that are ready to house a Native student, a tribal college student. And not only that, a tribal college student who 34, 35 years old, may have a family, all the things that come with it, and how do we support that? So very different perspective, and I think the mentors play a key role, and I think everybody who's been a part of the program as a mentor, shout out to them, because they really are invested in tribal college students.
They're donating their time, a lot of times resources, supplies, mm-hmm. whatever they have, and I also want to shout out Maida Vargas, who's currently the lead manager for the program, who's done an excellent job on that expansion part, but also making sure we're still engaged with students once they're hopefully at the U of A or other universities. And then Jasmine Lopez and Jamie Siqueiros, who are alumni of the program, who have come back and are working for the program and helping with running it. So big shout out to them, and Agnes Nelms Howery program for believing in us from the beginning and staying engaged. Right? You know, it's great to have that partnership, and they continue to check in.
And the Native Fuse Alliance really trying to think forward about where this program could go, how we can broaden some of the participation from other tribal colleges. And I think Christina too, Christina Kaufman.
Oh yeah, right?
She's an advisor. She's in it to win it too.
Like, I mean, of course, Dr. Marty Jane. Lindsay we talked about earlier. Uh-huh. I mean, the list is endless. And I think when you talk about sustainability of the program, I think it's, that's part of it.
Yes. Like,
there's this huge list of
having
people
the support
and partners that are invested in this.
Mm-hmm. Tina, you shouted us out.
Now we're on the radio or podcast.
Let's go. Nice. Wow. Well, thank you both so much. I appreciate you both taking the time to come here and be on Cultivating Indigenous Voices. I'm excited that folks, you, the listener, get to learn all about the program. And of course, if you're wanting more information, I'll be putting in some links in the webpage for the episode. And thank you both so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXCI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Ben Richman, Manager of Undergraduate Education Initiatives, and Daniel Sestiaga, Assistant Director of the Indigenous Resilience Center at the University of Arizona. To hear more episodes, go to kxci.org.